Hello and good morning. My name is Steve and I'll be reading God's word for you today. So the Bible passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verses 7 through to 18. Now let's look at how Paul contrasts the new with the old covenant. And you can follow along from verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory, transitory though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was transitory came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who would put a veil over his face to prevent the Israelites from seeing the end of what was passing away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit.
As many of you will know, in Term 3 last year, my family travelled all the way to Western Australia and back again. We aren't a camping family, let me confess. Don't own a four-wheel drive, I'm not a bush tucker man. But we need that to be prepared to cross Australia, you need to think about it. One of our first buys for the trip was an LED light bar for our Toyota Kluger. People kept on suggesting you're going to need to be able to see the sides of the road very clearly to avoid the wildlife. So essentially, a light bar is a spotlight. Boy, did it light up the sky. You thought high beams were effective until you flicked the switch on the spotlight. Our family was desperate to flick the switch before we drove around Australia, so after the spotlight had been fitted up on the Gold Coast for us, we flicked on the switch on an unsuspecting Northern Rivers road, and boom, we probably blinded some poor family that was in a house on the side of the road. The whole horizon just seemed to light up as this flick was switched. To say the high beams were superseded is a complete understatement. They say the middle of the spotlight can go about 1 kilometre. Even now, with this trip far in our rearview mirror, if we're driving in the dark on a country road around the district, the call will go out in our car, flick the switch. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul does today in 2 Corinthians as he further highlights the strength of his ministry for the church in Corinth. He says, in Christ, flick the switch. Boom, he's going to say, chapter 3, verse 7 through to 18. You want to light up the world? Flick the switch on Christ, because Jesus is much, much, much more glorious than Moses, and we need to make much, much, much of Jesus. So get ready to shield your faces, because it's going to get very bright in here this morning. Good morning, my name is Stu. I'm one of the pastors here at Southern Cross. We're going to be holding the Old Testament and New Testament together today in about 20 minutes. It's going to be a bit mind-bending. And I'm also going to spend a short time in Luke chapter 9. So be prepared to go there today. So you guys, you got your text here, and then we're going to spend a bit of time here, and you'll need your highlighters. Thanks, Josh. Let me pray. Father, please illuminate our minds, strike a match in our hearts, that we might see the bright blaze of Christ in our lives and community. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as the apostle continues to lean into the shape of his ministry to the Corinthian church, we might scratch our head a little bit as we just read through that section as Steve read it. But there's no doubt there's a neon light that's flashing through this section, and it's saying N-E-W. Because have a look at chapter 3 and verse 10. For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. Firstly, the Apostle Paul is saying the old covenant, right? He's saying the message, the driver of the Old Testament was a big deal. Do you know what the key driver, the key moment for the law for Israel was? When was it? Mount Sinai. Okay? So you've got, you might have seen The Prince of Egypt or something like that, a DreamWorks film. You've got Israel has been liberated, freed from Egypt, doing this desert wandering thing, and then the law is being revealed to his people at a place called Mount Sinai. What are some things that happen as Moses and the people of God meet on this mountain in the wilderness? I've been reading through Bible in a year, so last week I read this section in Exodus, which was really helpful for preparation for this week. But in Exodus 19, this is what it says in verse 16. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning with a thick cloud over the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of camp to meet with God. They stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole community trembled violently. At the sound of the trumpet, it grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. So there's thunder, there's lightning, thick cloud, noise, smoke. Sinai really could have been a pretty impressive light show for your New Year's party, don't you think? Very dramatic. Yet don't miss what the apostle is doing here in 2 Corinthians. Listen again and have a look with me, chapter 3 and the first part of verse 10. For what was glorious, okay, think Mount Sinai, has no glory now. Why? Well, we see it in the second half of verse 10. In comparison with the surpassing glory. What is he saying? Sinai was something, right? The Exodus. But once Christ arrives, glory arrives. It cannot compare to the glory of Christ. It's like grabbing a sparkler and thinking that's as impressive as the Sydney fireworks at New Year's Eve. It's like comparing your iPhone flashlight to the Byron Lighthouse. It's like comparing a little Energizer pen torch that goes on your key ring to the Melbourne Cricket Ground when it's lit up at night. I think this is the key driver for verses 7 through to 12. It's new versus old. It's the iPhone 14 versus the Nokia 3310. Yeah, anyone remember that? The brick. Back, there was a thing called 2000. There was these phones called fat Nokias that called the brick. Anyway, there is a strong note also, not just old new, but the apostle seems to be suggesting this is also death to life. Do you see that? Chapter 3, verse 9. If the ministry that brought condemnation was glorious, think old covenant, think Sinai, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness, the gospel? Now, I'm very confident the Apostle Paul would say Sinai in Exodus 19 and Exodus 34, God meeting with Moses, big deal. And yet, I think he would also show you the limitations of the old covenant. Because before the old covenant was even adequately revealed in Exodus, what happens? Moses is on the mountain. What are the people doing? The golden calf. The law hasn't even been, they haven't even received the law yet. And they say, here, Israel, this golden calf is the one that led you out of Egypt. And if you knew your Old Testament better than the Apostle Paul, no offense, but you don't. Don't you hate it when people say no offense? It's the fastest way to offend people. So now I've offended all of you this morning. Sorry. We're going to join the apostle with his Bible. We're going to have the Old Testament open, and we're going to move through with the Apostle Paul through the Old Testament, so we get what does he mean by the Old Covenant was one that led to condemnation. The Apostle Paul would effortlessly guide you through, and he'd show you the back third, okay? As he's showing you through Deuteronomy, through the Judges period, he will say, Israel is hard-hearted, stiff-necked, and adulterous. With his highlighter in his hand, he takes you to the final third of the Old Testament, and he'll show you the prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, and Ezekiel. And he'll point you to this refrain from that's going to Israel at the start of Isaiah's ministry. When Isaiah starts his ministry in Isaiah 6, he hears this word from the Lord, and it says, Israel is ever hearing, never understanding. They are ever seeing, but never perceiving. As the Old Testament's pages close, it ends in condemnation for Israel. One biblical scholar says that prophets is the proclamation that Israel is dead. So, we finished our Old Testament lecture with the Apostle Paul. It's a bit dark, a bit gloomy, a bit grim. So what would he do now? He would smile and he'd say, check this out. You would see the glint in his eyes. He would be more excited than a 16-year-old with a new iPhone. He would be more excited than a 21-year-old with a new set of keys to a new Hilux. More excited than a 30-year-old getting keys to a new house up at Eastwood Estate. More excited than insert age here of a new hip. You get the idea. He's more excited than Big Kev. He's more excited than Jimmy Giggle. He's more than excited than anyone you've ever met. Do you want to join in his excitement? Well, let's move on to verses 14 to 18 of 2 Corinthians 3. What has the apostle excited? Get more Jesus in your life. That's what it is. 2 Corinthians 3:16. When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. What does he mean? He means when you turn to Jesus, the spotlight goes on, the fog lifts. In 2 Corinthians 4, he said in the next chapter, the darkness disappears. Paul is pumped. He is pumped about the new covenant, and could I suggest, so is Moses, not to mention God the Father. Commentators didn't flag this, but when I read 2 Corinthians 7:18 this week, I couldn't help but think about this passage. So would you turn with me to Luke chapter 9, verses 28 to 36. These guys got their own version. So we're going to read through it with some highlighters. This is what I did through the week. So there's different colours for different repeated themes, okay? So I've got orange, 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 blue, purple, pink, pink, brown. So read along with me. This is Luke 9, verse 28 to 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he would bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. Didn't know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and covered them, and they were afraid. And as they entered the cloud, a voice came from the cloud saying, This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and did not tell anyone at the time what they'd seen. Again, because so many of us, did you read What's kids' song did you do today? The Bible is the answer. In it, Colin talks about get your head in the Bible. But because so many of us struggle to read our Bibles daily, and particularly the Old Testament, a lot of this stuff will just go straight over your head. Sadly, we fail to see how drenched Luke 9 is in Old Testament allusions. I'm going to fuss over it. I'm just going to completely geek out on this. I'm really sorry. Like a stamp collector or an insect collector or an amiibo collector on the Switch, here are three things that I think we should identify as we read Luke 9 together. Firstly, Sinai. The Sinai episode, Exodus 19, and also Exodus 34, when God appears to Moses, are written all over this in Luke. So there's Luke 9, 28. Where does this happen? A mountain. 9:29, Jesus' face changed. 9:29, his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. 9:34, while Jesus was speaking, a cloud covered them, okay? How was Israel led in the wilderness? By cloud, by day, fire by night. 9:34, the disciples were afraid. Now, number two, this is the second highlight from this section in Luke's gospel. The book of Exodus gets hugely significant here. In chapter 9, verse 31 of Luke, Moses and Elijah talk with Jesus about his departure. Now, if someone has a paper copy of the Bible, have a look at 9:31. There's a footnote beside it. I think it'll say A. Follow it down to the bottom of your page and tell me what it says in a big voice. Yeah, Greek, Exodus, okay? Exodus, okay? Jesus is having a chat with Moses and Elijah about what? Exodus. Don't you think that is like significant? What does Jesus mean? Jesus, Jerusalem, Exodus, Israel departs Egypt, miraculously saved, the whole Red Sea incident, the horse and rider thrown into the sea. So too, Jesus will miraculously save his people in a place called Jerusalem from slavery to death and sin. And another final one, 9:35, has explosive Old Testament depth. The voice of God speaks from the cloud, again, think Sinai, and it says of Jesus, "This is my son," think Adam, think Israel. In Matthew's gospel, it says, "Out of Egypt I've called my son." Listen to him is a direct reference to a one greater than Moses from Deuteronomy 18, from Moses' lips. As I was prepping this, I got this reference from Deuteronomy 18, and I was like, whoa, hang on. Moses is saying of Jesus, listen to him. Moses is repping Jesus. Repping means like talking up, like, boast, like saying, he's the man, look at him. This is Deuteronomy 18:15. This is Moses' lips. The Lord your God will raise up a prophet like me from among you, from your fellow Israelites. You must listen to him. Three clear points that I think from Luke 9 that super affirm what the Apostle Paul is doing in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14 to 18. The old covenant, the veil, is you got to get rid of it, remove it. See the brightness of Jesus. Jesus is the one who will lead the new Exodus. Jesus is the obedient Son of God where Adam failed. Jesus is the prophet of Moses to whom we must listen. Who has no idea what I'm talking about? Yeah, I had some of them up the hill as well. Anyway, as I was driving down, I was thinking, what do I do? I think if you read Exodus 19 through to about 35, and read Luke 9 again, it might make a bit more sense. Anyway, I'm going to land this thing. Do you make much of Jesus? Do you care? Why not? Is Jesus dazzling? Is he bright to you? Is he life to you? There's an Australian evangelist and apologist, John Dixon. He said, one of the things that crippled him most in his early evangelistic attempts, that means in his early attempts as a teenager to share Christ, the thing that ankle-tapped him was, guess what? Evangelism training. Can you believe it? Sounds unbelievable, yet it's unbelievably true. He said he came to Christ, he wasn't from a Christian family, through the godly everyday witness of a faithful, mature-aged woman. And he just started talking about Christ to his friends at school. Sure, he wasn't from a Christian family. Before he knew Jesus, he didn't take him seriously. He thought it was a load of baloney. He and his teenage mates would only check out Jesus because they know they got a free feed. That's why they were going. But John says, once the veil was removed, he saw Christ in all his magnitude, all his brightness. All he could do was talk of Jesus. He loved him so much. Once he started going through an evangelistic course, he started to second guess himself. Oh, maybe I didn't say that right. Well, what if that argument doesn't hold up with my friend? And yeah, what is the Trinitarian frame for my understanding of soteriology? I'm not even really sure on that last one. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7 to 18 reveals, best way to proclaim Christ, look at him until you love him. Best way to deny Christ, just be embarrassed about him. Our Round Australia trip would get lit up. We'd light it up. It wasn't like the light up. It was the flick the spotlight on switch. And we thought high beams were awesome until you flick a switch. So word of warning to you, if you see a dark Kluger parked out here coming your way on a dark night in the Northern Rivers, just kind of brace yourself, because if in the car it's flick the switch, boom, night sky lit up. Can I urge you to flick the switch on Christ? Have his light dazzle your eyes, because Jesus is dazzling. He's stunning, spectacular, outstanding, remarkable, astonishing, fabulous. I love this story from the English pastor, Tim Chester. He talks about he and his wife getting to know one of his wife's colleagues. She works in the medical industry in England. She would happily interact with Tim and his wife and others from their church family. She confessed, I love hanging out with you guys. But she said, the stuff about Jesus is, this is her words, weird. They would open up the Bible with me and she kept looking at them in astonishment. She says, Jesus walking on water, rising from the dead, ascending to heaven. Do you believe this stuff? Later she told them that she goes, you guys seem like sensible people. You can even hold down a job, but you just believe crazy, wacky stuff. But then this woman described a moment. She's sitting in the front room of a house and she knew it was absolutely true. What happened? When anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When you invite someone to read word one-to-one with you in John's gospel, it's very likely they'll look at you and even say, well, they mightn't even tell you, they might think it. Jesus walking on water, Jesus rising from the dead, ascending to heaven. Do you believe this stuff? They may not say to you, they'll probably think it, you're weird and you believe crazy stuff. And then just like that, the flick switch is flicked by the Holy Spirit. The veil's taken away. The person moves from death to life. It's the greatest miracle that can happen in a person's life. And if that moment was when you were 16 or 30 or 21 or 30 or the year that you got your hip replacement, never ever stop gazing at Jesus, because it's as we behold him that we're saved. And as we're saved, the word in the Bible is called sanctified. So you look at him, you're sanctified and transformed. And then one day you'll look at him in his glory. We're redeemed creatures in Christ. We reflect now the glory of God, but we reflect it even more when we appreciate the glory of Christ. One day he will be glorified. That spotlight is going to flick and it's going to be real bright. And we'll enjoy him forever. Now let me finish by offending you once more. No offense, but most of us don't live lives that are considered great by the world. For us, holiness will not consist in heroic acts, but in 1,000 little decisions. But God gives us the opportunity to feel the mundane and the ordinary by flicking the switch on the glory of Christ. We can be radiators of God's glory in a drab world. We can be reflectors of his light in a dark world by making much of Jesus. Will you make much of him? Pray your will. Let me pray. Father, we want to thank you for your brilliant son, that he entered the darkness of our fractured world and amazingly invites us on a journey toward his glory. Father, we confess our pursuit of glory can cripple us, cripple our ability to live as vibrant ambassadors, proclaimers of Christ. Father, please magnify Christ's glory in our vision. Remove us from veiling Christ to others. Get us out of the way. Please help us to make much of him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.